Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." And he continues, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two sons did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So this parable that we get today is a part of a string of parables that Jesus tells the chief priests of the temples, and we can assume to the disciples and anybody else that would have been present at the time. But, of course, Scripture tells us that the main audience was the chief priests, or the religious leaders of the temple at the time. This is in line with what we know about Matthew's gospel, as it is written for a primarily Jewish audience in mind. An audience that would have been more familiar with the teachings in the temple and how the teachings of Jesus seemingly contradicted what was being taught. These parables show up towards the end of Jesus' journey to the cross, after Jesus had already gone into the temple and overturned the table of those who abused the grace of God by trying to sell it in the form of sacrifices to make a quick buck. This is after Jesus has healed the sick and professed what he is doing here on earth. By the time these parables are being shared, Jesus has already made known his power on earth and is about to show his might in the giving up of his dignity upon the cross and rising once again, showing the power he has over sin and death. And so, it is in the midst of all of this that the chief priests have the audacity to ask Jesus, "Who gave you the authority to do this? Who gave you the authority to heal the sick, to tell us the desires of God, and to declare this love and forgiveness for who? Tax collectors and prostitutes? Who do you think you are, Jesus?" It is in response to this that Jesus has one of his gotcha moments with the chief priests, where he asks them who they think John got his power from, if it was from heaven or from earth. And the chief priests don't know how to respond because we see clearly that they have an answer. They want to say, "of earth," but they don't want to upset those in the crowd that believe John's baptism was indeed of heaven. It is here that we get this kind of abrupt parable explaining this. But I want to give you a new parable today, maybe a little bit more of a modern one, if you'll just bear with me. So, a new parable I give you. Say a pastor has two sons, and he asks his sons if they will be coming to church this Sunday. The first one says, "No, I will not come to church." And the second one says, "Why, yes, of course, Father. I am there every weekend." So Sunday comes and both sons do as they said they would. The first one did not come to church, but the pastor learns later on that the son has been going out into the community to feed those in need. The second one comes to church just as he said he would, but as soon as he leaves this place, he looks at the first brother and says, "You weren't at church. Do you not know that you will not make it into heaven then? Because of your lack of faith? Now I ask you, which son is truly worshiping God and doing the Father's will?" You would not believe, or maybe some of you would, the number of people that I have spoken with in my life that say that they believe in God, but they have lost their faith in the church. They have come to see the harm that the church has done and that some churches continue to do in this world. And it's not that they don't love God or love the message of Jesus Christ, but for them, the institution of the church has become an inhospitable place. And sometimes I think that we often confuse piety for faith, or we confuse what is church work compared to what is God work. We pray, right? Or at least I hope that we pray that the church work is also God work. And I pray this prayer nearly every day, hoping and praying to God that the work I'm doing is for the betterment of those around me, so that the kingdom of God may be known in my midst. But frankly, and I'll admit this, sometimes I let what I think is better for the church get in the way of what God is doing in the world. Sometimes I get caught up on some of these Lutheran traditions that I have grown to love, right? I didn't grow up Lutheran. I chose this because I love it. But still, I cling on to those things too much, where I am no longer seeing what God is doing and where God is leading me. And these things no longer are being used to profess the love of God in our midst. Sometimes, even in our church work, we can forget to put Jesus at the center. And that's a strange thing, isn't it? The establishment that was put in place to worship and honor God by providing a center of worship and community can get turned in on itself rather than out in the world where God is at work. Just because we call this place the house of God, that does not mean that the church is God. The church is a tool that is meant to be used by and for God for the spreading of the gospel. And once it stops doing that, then it becomes a building just like any other. And so we must walk this careful line between what is church work and what is God work, and pray that it is in our church that we are doing what God is doing and doing what can be felt throughout our community in the world as God's work. The chief priest asks, "By whose authority are you doing this?" By whose authority are we doing our work? And it's a strange question for me to be asking just weeks after my ordination, where I was given the authority to administer the sacraments. This authority that we must believe come from both heaven and the church being you, right? You have given me the authority to do such things, and that is important. But this could not happen if it did not first come from God. And this is something that we need to keep in mind, that we have been given the authority to do this work first from Jesus Christ. In the Great Commission, we have been given the authority to bear the good news. And we have been given the authority to feed the hungry, wash people's feet, sit with the sick, and house the homeless. We have been given this power from He who did it first. But what do we do with this power and with this authority? This power and authority are not typically what we think of as power and authority in our modern context. You see, today we think of those who are CEOs with the money or strong men and women who can lift buses as being in authority and having power. But the authority we get from Christ is to hold something even bigger than a bus. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit that we believe dwells in all of us. And with this power, we've been tasked with bringing this Holy Spirit to one another. So why do we live our lives acting as if we don't have this power guiding us? We must ask the question, what authority do we let rule our lives? That of heaven or that of earthly things? Jesus went before the chief priests to share this very message, knowing that they were doing the very same things that we are guilty of now in placing some of our dear traditions before looking to where God is at work now. And that's not to say that our traditions aren't good, but they need to point to God. Jesus says these things knowing that there are those also who have rejected the teachings of the temple, those outside of the church, rejected the teachings of the church that do more harm than good, and that is those tax collectors and those prostitutes. Outside of the temple that will inherit the kingdom of God, not because of how they spend their Sunday mornings, but because of the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. In the end, it's important to remember that there is forgiveness with what we hold on to before God. That is what the cross is for, after all, is it not? For it is there that Christ defeated the power of sin and death. Just because there is forgiveness, though, that doesn't mean that we should stop trying to do better about putting Christ at the center of all that we do and all that we are. And I don't mean this in a way of going out and telling a person how pious you are because you go to church, but by approaching one another with the love that comes from God. And I truly believe that is the best way that we can honor what Christ has done for us, by sharing in this love with one another. So I want to give you just a little bit of homework this week, if that's okay. Take some time to think about how you live into your calling to be a disciple of Christ. And I want you to find one other person this week, maybe a family member, a friend, or you can email me in how you do that. How can you in your daily life honor that God that is already with you? You don't do any of this work alone. You see, that is where we find the hope on Sunday mornings. It is the hope that it is in the church, that it is in this place that you can be prepared to go out into the world ready to love and honor God in a way that others will look upon your life and know that you are a disciple. For it is Christ himself that says they will know that they are my disciples by their love. Love that comes from the authority of God to share this message with all of those you encounter. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.